Greetings in Jesus' name. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Lord and Father, we bow before you here this morning. We thank you for this privilege we've had to sit under the preaching and teaching of your word already this morning, Lord. And thank you for these songs we've been able to sing of worship and praise and blessing, Lord. Thank you for your word that we have to read, to understand, that it speaks into our lives. And Lord, we just thank you that we can gather in this way. We praise you for giving us the freedom to worship you in quietness and in peace, Lord. Lord, I pray you would come and just be with these words that I share this morning. Lord, I pray they would be your words and that you would speak through me. Father, I pray that you would feed each one of us by your word this morning. Break the bread of life to us, Lord. Lord, we just ask these things in your name. Amen. I feel like we've been richly fed already. Like we probably could go home and take what we've heard and put it into practice. And I've just been blessed by the way the Lord has led already this morning. The message I have, the Lord has laid on my heart. I don't think I've ever heard a message from this passage. If I did, I don't remember it. But you can turn to 2 Samuel chapter 9 while I write the title on the board. 2 Samuel chapter 9. The Mephibosheth metaphor. That's almost a tongue twister. I hope I don't tie my tongue in a knot this morning. I was reading through the books of 1 and 2 Samuel here, and this stood out to me when I came to this passage about Mephibosheth. It's mentioned several places in the books of Samuel, but we're going to take the passage from chapter 9 here as our main text this morning. Keep your finger there at chapter 9. I'm going to just turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 4 and read a verse there as a quick introduction. In 2 Samuel 4, verse 4, it says, "And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth." So we see here, Mephibosheth was Jonathan, Saul's son, Jonathan's son, or King Saul's grandson. Now King Saul also had a son named Mephibosheth that we read about later on in the book. So apparently it was not an uncommon name in those days. So 2 Samuel chapter 9, we're just going to read this chapter here, beginning in verse 1. "And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel in Lodibar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for For I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. It will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. So Mephibosheth was Saul's grandson. He was injured while fleeing for his life at the age of 5 years old. He apparently lived in obscurity until one day David sought out someone from the family of Saul to show kindness to for Jonathan's sake, because he had made a promise with Jonathan that that David's seed and Jonathan's seed would always dwell together in peace. They had made a covenant together with there. So, what is the metaphor? Maybe we should ask, what is a metaphor first? So a metaphor, very simply put, is a story that has a different meaning than would appear on the surface. So as I was reading through this story, I was just simply struck. I never really noticed it before, thought about it before, of the parallels between David and Mephibosheth and Christ and you and I. If you read this story, David is a type of Christ. Mephibosheth is a type of you and I. Ziba can also be represented there as a type of us, a servant. So let's just go down through this story here and see what we can learn from the life of Mephibosheth. First of all, he was a son of a different king. He was from a different kingdom. He did not belong to the kingdom of David. If we go back and read some of the backstory to this, the kingdom was divided between King David and Saul's son Ishbosheth. So the kingdom was divided there, and I'm just supposing, it doesn't say this here, but I'm supposing that Mephibosheth would have resided in the territory of King Ishbosheth, since he was of the same family, the same descent. But once David had taken the kingdom back, once the whole kingdom of Judah and of Israel was in David's hand, then he sought out Mephibosheth. So he was a son of a different kingdom. In a sense, he was born into the wrong family, just like we are all born into sin. We're all born into the kingdom of this world. We have a nature that is bent to sin. We cannot help ourselves. Isaiah 53:6, All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And Isaiah 64:6, But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 21 and 22, For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And Romans 5:12, Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So we see here very clearly, all of us have a sin nature we need to deal with. Mephibosheth was in a different kingdom. Not only was he in the wrong kingdom, he had been crippled by his experiences in life. He had a very misfortunate circumstance happen to him, and he fell and injured both of his feet, and apparently it was severe enough that he never healed up again completely. He was lame in both his feet. So point number two is we are crippled by the experiences in our lives. We are crippled by sin. We have a sin nature, and then that sin causes us to be crippled. We need someone to bring us up out of this pit of sin. Even as Mephibosheth needed someone to care for him, he couldn't help himself. Later on, we could look at the story when Mephibosheth wanted to go see David, and his servant Ziba deceived him and took his donkey and didn't take Mephibosheth along, and went and slandered his name to David. So Mephibosheth was helpless. He depended on those around him. Even so, we are helpless. We cannot pull ourselves up. We can't set our own feet on a solid rock. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not one of us that has escaped this nature. We are just like Mephibosheth. We are lame. We can't walk. When we do try to walk, we stumble and fall. But there's hope. And Mephibosheth, he didn't know it, but there was hope coming. We know it today. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So it's in our nature. We are the children of wrath, but yet Christ has quickened us together with him. We thank God that we can have that life, that quickening from Jesus. Point number three, Mephibosheth was hiding. I believe that he would have tried to keep his life secret from, not necessarily from King David, but from David's servants. If you read the story, David never destroyed one of Saul's family. He didn't destroy Saul. He didn't destroy any one of Saul's family, or even of the kingdom of Israel there when Saul's son Ishbosheth was ruling. David's desire was peace. He never went after Saul. He never went after his descendants. But David's servants did, and they stirred up all kinds of trouble because of it. So Mephibosheth was hiding from those of the kingdom of David. In our lost state, we will try to hide from God. When we realize our undoneness before God, it will cause us to want to hide our face from him. We'll be ashamed. We'll be grieved at what we've done to him. Isaiah 53:3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. When we see how we've despised and rejected him, it causes us to tremble, to fall on our knees and hide our face. If our perspective is right, that will be our response. If our perspective, maybe it is still a right perspective, I'm not sure, but if our heart is not right with God, we're going to fear God in a slavish way. We're going to have a trembling fear of God. We're going to fear for our life. We're going to fear to die. We're going to fear where we're going to go after we die. We don't need to fear God in such a way, but we should if our heart's not right. We have hope in Christ. Christ can take that fear away. Christ has rent that veil in twain from top to bottom, and we can come boldly before his throne. We can ask for grace in time of need. For we have not an high priest, Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Turn to Psalm 139. It doesn't matter how much we try, we cannot hide from God. If there's sin in our lives and we're trying to run or hide from God, it's not going to work. Psalm 139, starting in verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. So the Lord knows us. He knows where we are. We're not going to hide from him. It doesn't matter where we go. We can't run from God. Jonah tried to run from God, and it didn't work. Point number four. King David sought out and called for Mephibosheth. Back here in 2 Samuel chapter 9, the king called the servant Ziba there, and said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame in his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir. So here we see David sought out Mephibosheth. And once he knew there was someone of the house of David, he tried to find where this man was. Even so, Christ is seeking, he's searching for those crippled souls among us. He's looking for you. The Lord is looking for your heart, for my heart. We've all been crippled by this sin, by this nature, and we can't do anything about it. But Christ is searching and seeking to find us. Even as King David secured the kingdom there, Christ has secured his kingdom. We are no longer under the law, but under Christ. Jesus came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And when he fulfilled that law, he united the kingdom of God here on earth. And we are that kingdom. You and I are the kingdom of Christ on earth. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Christ is seeking for you. He knows where you are. And he's knocking on the door of your heart. He says in Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is seeking, he's knocking. Will you come? Will you open your door, your heart's door, and let Jesus in? Who at my door is standing, patiently drawing near, entrance within demanding, whose is the voice I hear? Lonely without, he's staying. Lonely within am I. While I am still delaying, will he yet pass me by? All through the dark hours dreary, knocking again is he. Jesus, art thou not weary, waiting so long for me? Door of my heart, I hasten, thee will I open wide. Though he rebuke and chasten, he shall with me abide. Sweetly the tones are falling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. If you hear Jesus calling, knocking on your heart's door, open the door, let Jesus in. Point number five. David sought Mephibosheth, but Ziba, the servant, brought him to him. Are you Ziba this morning? Are you a servant of God, and the Lord is seeking some struggling, hurting, crippled soul? Can you bring that soul to Christ? Will you be God's servant to that hurting, struggling soul? Can we be an instrument in God's hand to draw them out, to offer hope, to offer healing? Do we even know those around us good enough to know if they're hurting, to know if they're crippled, to know if they're struggling? Let's be like Ziba this morning, to know those hurting people, to be there to help them. Ziba was a servant to Mephibosheth. Could we be servants, like we heard last Sunday, to those around us? Point number six. Mephibosheth responded to David in reverence and humility and abasement, even referring to himself as a dead dog. In verse 8, and he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Dogs in the Bible are commonly associated with uncleanness, violence, sodomy, and witchcraft. If that's not worthless, I don't know what is. I don't think Mephibosheth was that bad, but that's how he viewed himself when he came before King David. And that's the view we should have when we come before God in our uncleanness. We need to come brokenly. The Apostle Paul had a similar attitude when he said in Ephesians 3:8 that he was less than the least of all saints. When God calls us, we must respond in humility and brokenness. We need to come before God and realize our lost estate before him. If we have any pride there, God resists the proud. He will not accept us. James 4, verse 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. If we desire the grace of God, we need to get rid of that pride in our life. We need to come humbly before God. 1 Peter 5, 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. In Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Pride is a hindrance to our faith. We cannot have full faith in God when there is pride in our lives. Just a question for you to think about. Is pride a lack of faith? I don't have an answer for that one this morning. Just jot that down in your notes and ponder that. What would have David's response to Mephibosheth been if he had come with the attitude of, I'm a prince of King Saul, and I don't need any help? Do you think David would have showed mercy? Yet how often do we come to God? We might not just say it like that, but we sort of have this attitude that I'm a somebody, and my parents were somebodies, and I have the right last name. Will God accept that? I don't think so. We need Mephibosheth's attitude of knowing who we are before Christ. The prophet Isaiah knew who he was when he saw God. He was completely undone. I don't have the reference here, but Isaiah had a proper perspective of who he was before a holy God. Point number 7, David showed mercy to Mephibosheth, even though he could have destroyed him. It was commonplace for kings to destroy the entire family of the previous king. But David showed mercy. Even so, God showed mercy to us. He could have rightly destroyed us. We all deserve death. We are all worthy of death. But he chose to send a Savior and extend his mercy to us. Oh, hallelujah, what a Savior. That he would send his perfect Son to die in our place. When we're worthy of death, we're sinful creatures. We have no hope. There's no way that we could ever make ourselves holy enough to come to God, holy enough to come into his presence. And yet he allows us to come boldly, like we read already, to his throne of grace. Thank you, Lord. Number 8, David gave to Mephibosheth all that pertained to Saul and made him to sit at the king's table as one of his own sons. David adopted Mephibosheth into his house. Even so, Christ has adopted us into his kingdom. This represents our salvation, reconciliation to God. God has promised he will give us all things which pertain unto life and godliness. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Let's just turn there. Ephesians chapter 1. Some beautiful, beautiful verses here. Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Just a beautiful passage there of the riches we have in Christ. And yet in verse 14 it says it's only the earnest of our inheritance. It's only the down payment. We can be made the children of Christ. We can know the mystery of his will. We have that inheritance to look forward to. David brought Mephibosheth into his own kingdom and treated him as a son. Colossians chapter 1, very similar passage here. In verse 11, it says, "We are strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." So Christ has brought us into his kingdom. He's given us, made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He's delivered us from that power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. He's given us a new heart. Now that's one thing Mephibosheth didn't get. He didn't get a new heart. But Jesus can give that new heart to us. We can be transformed by Jesus' power. Point number 9. Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem and ate continually at the king's table. So we can continually feast at Christ's table, both in this life and in the life to come. This is fellowship with Christ. 1 Peter 2:1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." So we can have the milk of the word of God. It'll cause us to grow. If we dig in and search the scriptures, we can feast at Christ's table. We can have a continual connection to God and feed on his word and be fed by his spirit. Christ is the bread of life that we can feast on. Let's let our lives express what Christ has done for us. You know, he's done so much. And I know I'm too often too quiet about what he has done. I was just thinking, this bread of life, which is Christ, if we're feeding on Christ, it's going to make a difference in our lives. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." So if you're hungry this morning or thirsty, come to Christ and feed at his table. Take the word of God into your heart. Believe it. Obey it. That is what feasting at Christ's table is. And it's not only for this life. We have a much more exceeding hope of glory. It also represents our reward in heaven. Revelation 2. Let's turn there. Revelation 2. Verses 7 and 17. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." So if we can overcome, Christ is going to give us to eat of the tree of life, and we will have eternal life forevermore. Verse 17, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth save he that receiveth it." So Christ will give us to eat of the tree of life and of the hidden manna. And I'm not sure what that all means, but I'm looking forward to that day when Christ will feed us and we can be with him forever. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 8. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So let us be overcomers so we can claim these promises, that we can sit with Christ in his throne, that we can drink of the fountain of the water of life, that we can inherit all things, as Christ has said. In conclusion, are you Mephibosheth this morning? Are you hurting? Are you part of a dark kingdom? Are you crippled by sin? Or are you Ziba? Do you know people who are hurting, crippled, and lost? Introduce them to Christ, even as Ziba introduced Mephibosheth to David. Help them to come to a better kingdom, to come to Christ. Pray for them, that God would have mercy on them. Or maybe you are David this morning, and you know someone who you can personally show mercy to. Someone you can serve. Someone who needs help. In Jude, verse 21 through 25, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. So we have hope this morning. If you're Mephibosheth, you can come to Christ. He is calling you. If you are Ziba, be inspired to go and share the love of Christ with the hurting, crippled, and lost around us. Or if you're David, show mercy to someone. Go serve them. May God bless each one of you.